You are listening to Jai Long, and this is Make Your Break. Hey, welcome back to the show. Hey, today I've got a special episode for you because Louisa is an amazing photographer that's based in New Zealand, and she actually dropped past my house and stopped in for a mentoring session. And we thought, why not turn this into an episode on the podcast to share it with everybody, because some interesting conversations do happen along the way. Now, over the next 45 minutes, I talked to Louisa about her problem right now, where she has hit some massive milestones, massive goals, creates incredible work, has lots of work, is very busy. She's inside the six-figure business map. You know, she's hitting big wins, but now she's feeling like she's not fulfilled with doing the same thing over and over. Now, as business owners, a lot of the times, like, we love to be creative, we love to push the envelope, and we love to do something a little bit different and push ourselves, right? We love challenges, we love problems and everything else. Now, with Louisa, her work is so incredible, but she has shot so many weddings now. So she is a wedding photographer. And the conversation goes down the road of what happens when you're no longer 100% excited to be shooting weddings or doing the craft that has brought you all the success and happiness in the past, but no longer are you getting those returns, right? It's kind of like money. A lot of the times we set out and we do something. Once we get a little bit of money, once we hit some accolades, once we get some awards, once whatever happens, it has a diminishing result on happiness. Because when we first do it, when we first make our first dollar in our business, it's probably the happiest moment of our lives. Then it gets to $10,000 and it's still really happy, 100, really happy. And as you start going up a little bit, you get less and less happiness from it, because after a while it's expected and you worked for it and you know what's going to happen, and it just becomes that, right? So same as like the first wedding, if you're a wedding photographer, the first wedding you've ever shot, man, most exciting moment of your life. I remember every detail from the first wedding that I ever shot. The second one, third one, like really exciting. 14th one, super exciting. Get to maybe the 100th wedding, probably less exciting for me personally. Once I got to my 400th wedding, it was getting less and less exciting. And once I got to my 500th wedding, yes, I do remember that one because it was the last wedding I ever shot, but you no longer feel challenged and pushed, right? You can get out there and you can make things happen, and you know what works and what doesn't. You start getting comfortable with your craft. So yeah, we talk about what's the next step when you start getting comfortable, entrepreneurship versus business owner, and how that looks for us, and what is the next steps for us, and what can we do to keep ourselves inspired, motivated, and moving forward without jeopardizing everything that we've built. I think it's going to be really interesting, and I can't wait for you to listen. Now, if you want to win a free mentoring session with me, just like this one, all you have to do is leave this podcast a review. And you can do that on the Apple Podcast app. If you haven't done so yet, please do. I read every single one. I think we've got about 12 reviews this week, and they've been amazing. Thank you so much if you just left us a review. And you're in the running to win a 45-minute one-on-one session with myself, where I can dive deep into some strategies and help you get over your roadblocks and through those mental blocks as well. So whatever's holding you back right now, or maybe you're looking for your next level of self, we can dive in and do it together. Why not? It's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, who knows? Maybe we can record it and put it on the podcast as well. That could be really cool. So please go ahead, do that, and enjoy today's episode.
Hi Jai, just wanted to pick your brain on a few things. So I'm a photographer from Germany based in New Zealand.
Yeah.
And I've been doing full-time photography since 3-4 years now, and it's going really well. But yeah, I'm definitely hitting some...
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Through COVID and stuff, of course, picked up some other things since, you know, except wedding photography, did some commercial work and did a bit of branding and stuff. So I took my toes into a few other things. But yeah, I hit a bit of a rock where I was like, okay, I have so many ideas in my head, but I'm like a bit stuck into wedding photography right now. And I always wanted to potentially offer some workshops or something, especially where I'm based in the mountains of New Zealand. It's so pretty. And people always message me, oh, you should do this, you should do that. So kind of like thinking about other things, but then not quite sure if I'm ready or how to approach it. And yeah, how to kind of like streamline all my ideas and at the same time have my photography business still up and running. But so that I maybe want to do a bit of less work on that front and just trying to, yeah, get some other income streams.
So is your wedding photography business running perfectly right now?
Definitely not perfectly. No, I definitely can automize, kind of like make my system more automatic and improve that. But I'm getting, really consistent inquiries. So that's been going really well. But
you've been getting inquiries and they've been booking lots of work.
Yes. Yes. But at the same time, so I'm going as well to Europe every summer. So I do kind of like summer in Europe, summer in New Zealand. So yes, so I'm getting a few destination weddings, which is cool. I would love to pick up more, but it's definitely that I would love to have something else to focus on potentially.
Do you want to focus on something else to like bring in more work, more money, or is it because you want to be feeling inspired again? Or so what's the underlying reason why you want to like expand out?
Probably like a bit of a challenge creatively, I guess. So I feel like creatively not that much challenge anymore with my weddings, even though I love them. You know, some weddings I'm like, oh yes, that's so cool, or boom, weddings overseas. But I feel like sometimes I see the same thing over and over again. Yeah. And I definitely don't feel as creative as I, when I was starting out.
Yeah.
So yeah, I feel like I'm definitely up for change.
Yeah, it's something you've learned to work out, like where for your next step and stage of your business and life, basically, it's like, what can you put into your business now to challenge you and meet you creatively so you feel like you're back in that zone again?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. It's so interesting because often like we start expanding out our businesses before our business is perfect. And what happens is we add on more work because we go to work on our business. And that takes up a lot of time, but then you end up with more projects and then we end up being less impactful and then you make less money as well. So the lowest hanging fruit to make money is like from your business now. But there's a few different things. It's kind of like when someone says, I want to be a destination wedding photographer. And then I say, why? And they're like, well, because I want to travel. A lot of times when you sort of dig it deeper, it works out that it's better to shoot locally and then get more money and then travel. So it's like we don't need to tie work into what we want to do all the time.
Yeah.
So it's even with this, it's like you could make more money from your business and then maybe you could hire more people or do something where it gives you more time and then you could take on different projects that for you is like more of a passion project. I know for me, like I take on so many passion projects because I love them. Like, like for me, like doing a workshop or I did a retreat last week and it was just a passion project. I wasn't making any money. When I do a podcast and things like that, it's all just passion. And I do that because like it keeps me alive, but I make sure my business is like running so well before I can take that on. Cause otherwise I know I'm just taking on extra stress.
Yes. That's what I'm feeling right now. I feel like I want to like outsource way much more in the photography business. And I got some associate tutors to kind of like do some work for me, especially while I'm like traveling and stuff. That's been going well, but I think I could extend that part to have like my photography business kind of up and running and making very consistent money, even though maybe potentially not there.
Yeah.
But at the same time, then having more time to put my
funds up thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. So with your business, I know you talked about doing workshops and maybe even like editorial stuff and like a whole bunch of other things. Would you do that under the umbrella of your business now, or would you start different things?
That's the big question because, my photography business is called Louise Avenue Photography, pretty much.
Yeah.
And my partner is part of this with his videography. So, it's pretty much under my name right now in the wedding scene. And we have a commercial business at the same time where he does more like commercial videography, promo films and stuff. So we already have quite a few like things under this brand.
Yeah,
so cool. I think I potentially could do the workshops under that same business, but then,
I mean, there's two different ways. Like one way is sort of like, basically like your brand is basically the same as like a supermarket. And so what you do is it stocks other things in the supermarket, right? So you go in, there's lots of different brands. And so it's an overarching umbrella. And then with inside that, you've got more and more products and you're just basically adding another product to the infrastructure that you've already got to the same audience and everything else. Or the other way is you rinse and repeat the business that you've already created. You can literally like cut and paste your website and create a whole new website that looks exactly the same, maybe change up the photos. And then you could have like a whole education section on that as well. I personally do it that way because I don't really cross-pollinate all my audience and I like to have a strong, clear message to my audience because if I don't have that, it becomes really hard, right? So if I'm like 1 minute, hey, so like I'm shooting island editorials right now, these modern weddings. And like, if you're in Gannies, you should get in touch. And then the next day I'm like, and we're doing like a photo walk in New Zealand, like bring your cameras. It like convolutes the message and then it can become harder. And for me, because I'm like so relentless with like my marketing and stuff, like the most important thing is to have a clear message on exactly what I'm doing and then just repeating and repeating. That's why I can have lots of businesses.
Yes.
The other thing is we're having lots of businesses is you can hire people specifically for that business. So for instance, if you've got an education company, you can hire a VA that just checks the emails once a day, 7 days a week. So that's 7 hours a week. And then that way, you know, that's ticking along when you're out shooting and you're traveling and you're doing the other things and you're not dropping the ball on that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then they're not confused on what business do they work for, because it's like, oh, a wedding client's got in touch. And then what do I do with that person? Where they just monitor the emails just for your education.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah,
yeah. So these are like very practical ways of doing it, I guess. And like, I feel like you're sort of in a zone where you're searching for something where it's like can push you to another level. Like,
yeah, yeah, a bit of a challenge, bit of like, I always need to see something new. I feel like every few years I like change my life, do something different. And I'm at that stage now, it's like, hey, yeah, wedding photography in Wanaka right now is great. You know, I do love it. But at some point, yeah, I just don't...
Tell me about that. Are you like, so wedding photography, you say you've seen a lot, you know, so tell me about that stage of life that you're in right now, because I think not many people ever hear about that. You know, so it's like, gets to a point where it's like, man, like I've shot 500 weddings.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So I obviously don't have the same spark and hop as I did on day two, as I did as day 498.
Yes, yes.
So you sort of get into a space where you feel comfortable with your job and then...
Yeah.
And then that becomes less fulfilling?
Yeah, super comfortable. Like, I would say the most important part is now meeting different people, or if it's like a new venue or something, but most of the time, literally, like I fly with helicopters all the time. I'm not even excited about it anymore. I feel like 5 years ago, it would have been the dream. But I feel like it's now, I kind of like achieved it now, and I do it so many times. So it's like, okay, what's next? I need a new challenge. I want to see new things and travel to new places. And I'm not sure if, for example, when I first got into wedding photography, I got into it because, ooh, I'm in a place where there's lots of wedding photographers, you know, it's like really beautiful and I can, you know, make a job out of it. But I actually didn't choose it for the lifestyle. Yeah. Now I'm getting inquiries for 2025 and I absolutely don't want to book it because I feel like I thrive off freedom and uncertainty. Booking things out 2 years in advance gives me anxiety. I'm like, I don't want to know where I'm going to be in 2 years' time. So I feel like the industry is good because it gives you security, but at the same time, it might not actually be what I want and need because I'm a very spontaneous person. I love to travel. I don't know if I'm based in New Zealand in 2 years. So yeah, yeah. That kind of like, I feel like I put myself into a box too soon where I'm not sure where I'm going to go. And I feel like I could do so many different things.
So basically what you're talking about is the tension between being a business owner and entrepreneur. And entrepreneurs, the downfall is they sabotage themselves all the time because they get bored really easily. And then business owners, they thrive for the rinse and repeat, do the thing over and over, got security, and then for the rest of their lives, they know they can do the thing. And so like a lot of us, like we don't even know the difference between those two, but sometimes for a business to grow to another level, like entrepreneurs never do that. Business owners do it. And that's why an entrepreneur will build a business and then they hire a CEO and then the CEO runs the business whilst the entrepreneur goes off and does something else. So like even just thinking of big people like Elon Musk, for instance, like he'll build something and then he'll move to the next thing and build something and then move to the next thing and buy Twitter and then move to the next thing because he likes to build and lead. And so with what you're doing, it's good to do it, but you just need to know that you can... A lot of work can get undone because you get bored of things and then you want to move forward. So one of the best things to do is just to know that I'm not a business owner, I'm an entrepreneur, and it's the same as for me. So the skills that I lack as an entrepreneur is always leadership. Like entrepreneurs think they can do everything themselves. They barely want to hire people or bring people in or let people share their vision or anything else. They don't want to ever be told what to do. So they're actually terrible employees and they're terrible leaders, but they're visionaries. And because they go with their imagination and stuff, they're keen to go and do the thing. So what we need to know is if we're bad at running a business and that's not what we do, then maybe that's the first person we need to hire, like a manager that manages this business, for instance, like your wedding photography business. And then that manager can literally hire like a DA that like gets back to the emails of things. And then it may not be as hard for you to show up and just to shoot a wedding or just to show up and do those things.
And then you've got so much more time to actually go out there and like try some harder things, like things that like make you more alive, you know?
Yes, yes. So I wanted to dip my toe more into like fashion photography, being in Europe, but of course to Paris, like all those kind of things that I can do over there, but it really gets me excited instead of booking another wedding, you know? So it's just the creative challenge, I guess, that I really like, and just learning something new. I'm not saying that I'm like amazing at wedding photography, you know, there's so many people better than me, but I feel like it is something that is in some ways quite repetitive.
I totally get it. And like one of the, so for you to hit your next level is like you learned a lot of things building your first business. Like, is this your first business, the wedding photography business, or you have more?
Yes, no, it was my first business. Yeah.
So you've learned a lot of things. And as a wedding photographer, you learned like the ins and outs of just way too many things. You wear too many hats, right? And so you learn so much, but your learning curve probably flattened out a little bit with your business. And then so you feel like you're not like pushing yourself and growing that. But what the amazing thing is, you've generated and created something from nothing that actually makes you money. And for your next level is to bring in that money, but then use it for your next passion, right? So like if you look at it, like going back to like Elon Musk, if you look at what he did, is like he starts PayPal, but then uses, or started X and then sold that to PayPal and then got all this money and then put it in Tesla and then got all that money and then put it in SpaceX and then got all that money and then put it in Twitter. And so you use that for your next level, because if you don't do that, then you're kind of stuck at ground one, which is actually the shit bit, like starting from the very start with no money, no resources, no connections, no networks, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So it gives you a really good springboard, but I don't want you to like let go of this at all. You just need to streamline it. And once you streamline it, like there's a reason for it, you can start traveling the world and doing like editorial fashion, like branching out, knowing that you've got a full safety net and you can literally start experimenting and going further out of your comfort zone, if that makes sense.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. Like I have so much knowledge.
Yeah.
And people always want to connect, and I feel like I'm quite good with like people in general and connecting, and I've been to like wedding photography workshops myself where I was like, ooh, actually this experience wasn't that great. Like it could be so much better. Yeah. And so I have been thinking of doing an experience for people, you know, that might be with like a creative challenge, something. I'm not sure, something I'm passionate about that I would buy if I would see it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or even just getting people the chance to do something and getting a helicopter to Coronel Peak or something, which is, you know, special for them. So I'm not quite sure, should I, you know, maybe go into a bit more the fashion editorial thing? Should I maybe branch out into doing some like online products that gives me money that I can just, you know, market the hell out of it? Or something. There's so many options. I just want to have also do different income streams, ideally. So it's not just me having to do the work. Yeah, of course, like what you said with the wedding photography business, if I get someone in and some other people might be shooting it. But I'm not right now sure where to start, or should I put
the... Well, I guess like the biggest question is, because you talk about different income streams and starting digital products and things like that. It's like, what is the goal? Like, are you trying to make a lot of money, or are you trying to broaden your skills, or are you trying to... Like, you need to know what that goal is, because so often we have a goal that's so not in line with like making more money, but then we chase that and then we realize at the end of it, man, that's not actually what I wanted to do, you know? So like, what is your unrealistic goal of you pushing forward? If you see yourself in like 3 years' time?
Yeah, ideally shooting some kind of fashion editorials, that would be amazing.
Well, there it is. Like, I feel like, you know, that's the first thing that comes to your mind. And so when I think about that, it's like, there's so many things you can do in that world. And just to like put it out there, like one thing you could do, fashion editorial stuff, you could shoot brands from all over the world and you could do that in New Zealand. And that would be really cool. Look, I've got a fashion brand myself and we have even contacted people in Queenstown and stuff like that to do photo shoots. We haven't been able to find anybody. So I feel like you could do that. And then you were talking about like doing retreats and workshops and stuff. You could literally have a fashion workshop. You don't have to be the main educator. Like you could hire all the educators you want to learn from, and you can either curate. So you're basically curating all the education. You get to sit in, learn, listen to everything, create an experience, extend your network, and then like supercharge your career in that sense as well, because you get known by everybody. So there's like a whole bunch of ways that you can sort of start layering that depending on how ambitious you want to be or how serious you want to be with like going down that path.
Yes.
But you could smash all this stuff together, you know, like why not create a workshop or do something like that?
Yeah, that's so true. Because I feel like I have the knowledge. People ask me in my DMs quite often, it's like, hey, what would, you know, tips for here and there? And it's such a destination for people to come to. I feel like while I'm there, it would be stupid maybe not to use that and to give it a go, right?
Yeah.
And I was also thinking, because I want to go to like different places in Europe at the same time, and why not even offering something there, you know, going to Greece or to Paris, you know, and doing something there. It's like, that means no one has to book me there for a wedding. I can still, you know, do something there.
Yeah.
That's not just holiday, actually.
Yeah.
Make some money and seeing the place and, like I said, creating something.
Yeah, I think that's really good. Like, I think, honestly, if I was you just going down this path, I would start a second business, because I just wouldn't want to have, like, just, I'm looking at your website right now. It's, like, beautiful. I would use the same branding, because you don't want to be too far removed from your business. But I would personally use the same branding, same font, same everything, and then I would rinse and repeat, and then I would create something that does, like, editorial. Like, you could do editorial fashion. You could do experiences. So if you call them experiences, and you'd have education for photographers and things like that, and then you've got a whole ecosystem around something completely new. Because it's not like you're learning photography just because you're changing niche. Like, you're already a professional photographer and you take the style of photos. I'm guessing they're not going to be very different from your wedding photos. I mean, well, look at these. They're like very timeless and they're very editorial anyway, you know?
Yeah, that's what I love.
Yeah. And so it's not like you're starting from scratch and you're an imposter or anything. You're literally just like rebranding and launching something that it's like right now a passion project.
Really?
Thing that you get to work on the side, which is really cool.
Yeah. But would you then detach it from kind of like the name, right? You would say you would...
I would.
No?
No, so right now you've got your name and then photography. So right now your website's just your name.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, you could call it the same name, but you could just have fashion on the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
You could have editorials on the end of it, or, you know, like whatever it is. Like, I think in this day and age, like people... Like, one of the worst things you can do is start a whole new name and a whole new brand, because you have to start from scratch on who you are. But you've already built a brand. And so people are following you because of you, not because of your product. And so it means you can go across channels and you can do different products. Like, I would still love following you if you start doing editorials and start doing a workshop and things like that.
Yeah.
Because it becomes a personal brand over like a product-based brand.
Yes.
So I would keep it essentially the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
I did mine the opposite. Like, I had Free the Bird, which is my wedding photographer, because I actually didn't want that to be my name. And I wanted to sell it at the end, and I did do that. And so for me, it was like completely separate. And then my stuff was Jai Long, which is all my education and all that stuff.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's working really well. Yeah. Because I was thinking, you know, rebranding is always a thing, but I love the brand that I have built, and I still, you know, yeah, love everything I've put in there. So it would be a shame. Yeah, like I said, starting from scratch.
Yeah, you don't. You never need to start from scratch and just go verticals. And like, one thing you could literally do is just cut and paste your website, change it up a little bit, and then launch it, and you're done. And you know it works. You know your other clients are going to resonate with it and things like that. And you already love it, and you've already put in so much work and stuff. So it is low-hanging fruit, and it's like the easiest way to get something out there for you.
Yeah, because I also listened to your podcast, the Educators Rising ones.
Yeah.
And where you said, you know, different things like, yeah, you can do whatever, podcasts and stuff, you know, giving back to community and stuff. But yeah, like, would you recommend still doing some kind of like online product so you can, you know, market that a lot? And like, I don't know, the basic photography workshop, for example, you know, filming it, my partner's videographer, so we can, you know, easily get something together. But then, yeah, I'm just thinking about, I don't want to do too many things, you know, ideally just focusing on like, I didn't want to fail.
So there's going to be a lot of learning for it for sure. Like, so your example was like, what was it, basics of photography or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the only problem is with like education in the photography space, it's like the most flooded out of all industries.
Yeah.
So like at any fingertips, like right now, but like the weird bell curve is there's less and less photographers and more photography education. Like it's kind of gone a little bit nuts on that, in that direction.
With COVID maybe too.
Yeah, with COVID and stuff like that. But like, hey, just have you ever noticed, like when you go for a walk, there's not that many people DSLRing or taking photos of things because everyone's using their phone. But if you went back 5 years ago, there were tons of people. And I think this is something that no one's actually talking about, but you can physically see a decline in it. But then the education is like skyrocketing. So I don't think that is a low-hanging fruit. But our low-hanging fruit could be like how to shoot editorial things, you know, so like something very niche, because riches are in the riches. But for you especially, like your superpower isn't starting out your photography business. In fact, you even said that you're bored of it. And so teaching people something that you're bored of is the worst thing to do. It's learning fruit from money, but if that's not the thing that you want to do, it doesn't fill your heart and it becomes really hard. So it's better for you to be challenged yourself. And so if you're going to do like a digital product or a course or something, like I do think you need to do something that's like very much you, that can't be replaced by AI or other photographers or anyone else in the industry. And people have to come to you for that experience. If
yeah.
You have success.
Yeah. I think, yeah, when I think about experience, I've definitely been to retreats myself, not wedding photography ones, for example, but like, you know, whatever, spiritual retreats or something. And I absolutely love it. I love connecting with other people and
as well
having people together doing something, yeah, that's outside of photography. I know you did the educator one, Langreed in Byron, right?
No.
But that's what I love. I actually in-person connecting with people and giving people my time and energy. I feel like there is something there that I could give people for sure that would then make me excited because it is out of my comfort zone. You know what I mean? It's not, I don't feel comfortable speaking in front of people. Like what you said at the start, like I'm the worst public speaker ever. But I think that would be challenging myself.
You know what? Like it's funny because even so just last week, if I rewind, I just did the Educators Retreat. And so for me, it was like sitting in a room of people, listening to people, but then doing ice baths together and then doing yoga and then just talking and then having drinks and having dinner and just having this whole experience of other people that are like black men like me. And one thing that I realized is people are not actually searching for the secrets. People are searching for the experiences. So often we think that our online courses or our retreats or anything, it's got to be groundbreaking secrets. But it actually doesn't. If like the better the experience is, if you can create something that no one else is creating, then I would go to you. So for instance, if your information is like similar to my information in your course, but I get to, and I've already done Jai's course, I already know the thing, but for some reason I can go to your retreat and then I can network with your community and then I can do those experiences and listen to your life experience and things that I can't find on the internet or YouTube or on a podcast or anything else. Then all of a sudden becomes very valuable. So people want that. And so you can do that online, of course. Like I do that with the business map and things like that. But it's like, how can you create something where people are like, this is the experience, this is where I want to be, this is the thing that I need.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I could also do that in Germany, for example, where there are way more people and people found it super interesting, you know, that I moved to the other side of the world and I get, yeah, people ask me that the whole time, just combining that with, you know, experiences and talks and bringing different people in that could be really like nourishing for everyone coming there and wanting to use that time.
If you think about it, like even, so just talking about Germany, but like way up north, they have, I don't know if you heard about that workshop.
I have actually.
That's just all around Europe. And essentially like I know the photographers that run that and they are, they're great photographers, but they don't have to be. Because they don't get up and speak or do any of that sort of thing. And so it's funny because they are the curators. They bring together their favorite artists that and get them on stage to share and teach, and then they sell tickets to that thing. So that's exactly what I was talking about. It was like, you don't need to be the expert and the best of the best for something like this. If you actually wanted to go out there, get relentless, create something that no one else is doing, you could create like a little conference or a workshop or a retreat like that where you're not even the main educator. You know?
Yeah. And that takes a little sort of pressure off, right? That you have to do, be amazing and give them everything. And kind of like, yeah, you just collaborate with other people. And I have so many people I know that will be perfect for this too.
Exactly. And I think one of the most valuable people that no one ever talks about, the most valuable people that we have amongst us are curators, like people and facilitators, like people that actually can bring this person over here that's looking for something and this person over here that has something and connecting the two. And then so your whole job is to be good enough at marketing to bring those people in and good enough people skills to so then the experts trust you. And then you are the one that, like, your whole job is to create this experience. So your whole job is the business, basically. And, like, that's really cool. Like,
yeah.
I love that. Like, I love that for myself.
Yeah, that's super exciting because you can bring everything together that you would want at a workshop, for example. Yeah. You know, I was like, there's nothing out there that I would exactly want to do. Like, I don't know, doing some, you know, random stuff like drawing something. I feel like that's sometimes missing and it's like all creative, you know, getting your creativity going. And I would just love to bring heaps of different things in into that at the same time than, you know, somehow chasing the editorial, maybe fashion space as well. And yeah, that probably gives me a bit more challenges, but
it gives you challenges, but it's also like very on point of exactly where you want to move.
Yeah.
So if your whole thing wasn't money, but you'd love to be an editorial photographer, like I'll post and be going, listen, guy, like, I want to be one of the best editorial photographers on the planet. I want to be known by everybody. Like, that's the type of person I am. And so then I'm like, well, to do that, the quickest way is I'm going to start creating these retreats. I'm going to bring people on. I'm going to bring on the best of the best so I can extend my network, meet more people, get more referrals. And then you will get known by everybody as an expert really fast as well in space.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's all up to you. So often we don't realize that it's up to us how fast we want to show up and blow up. You know, it's like in our hands. So I can sit here all day and give you all the different strategies, but the second that you go like, yes, I'm doing this thing, then there's nothing that's going to stop you.
Yeah, exactly. It's just always so many different steps, right? Yeah. And you just have to write it down, actually do the work.
Okay, so just like going practical, I would never start another business until I can fully envision the whole thing. Every single thing. So for instance, if I was going to start like a retreat company like this and do these things, like I want to be able to sit there and envision like what people are sitting on, what food are they drinking? Like, what does it smell like? How hot is it in the room? Like, what are people saying? What are people looking for? And I envision the whole thing, the whole experience. And the second that I can do that and I'm like, oh, that's fun. And that's a good experience. Then I would pursue that. But most people, they do the opposite where they like create something and then they fall into it and then they don't really know what they're doing. So it's hard to find success when it's like that. But when you got the vision, then you can just chase that vision. You know exactly where you're going and it stops you from thinking about all the other ideas. Because as entrepreneurs, one of the biggest self-sabotage things that we have is we chase too many ideas instead of just the one idea. And I do this. This is my downfall. My biggest downfall is I chase too many ideas. And so I know this from personal experience. It's like I need to envision the one. I envision all of them actually. So I go through every idea and I envision all of them. And then I choose the one that I'm like, okay, so I know that one's going to make the most impact, the most money. I'm going to feel the most fulfilled. I'm going to be challenged the most in the best way possible. It's uncomfortable. And then it sort of ticks all these boxes for me. And I'm like, that's the one I have to do. And then I allow myself to let go of all the rest.
Yes. Yeah. And just pursue and concentrate on one thing.
Just the one thing.
Yeah. But at the same time, I feel like I have to, you know, be a bit more stable in my wedding photography business to then get that a bit more running by itself, yeah, so maybe.
Like it was sort of saying at the start, yeah. It's like, so this is the one thing you got now, wedding photography business, yeah. Right? So if you break away too quick, it stands to lose. Like when you envision this new life, step one is like, okay, so make my business run like a machine. So it just brings in money and gives me more time, which means I need to hire the right people. I need to implement the right things, the right strategies for marketing. So I'm not there hustling all the time, like whatever it is. And then step two is like rinse and repeat that business, grow it up. And then you know what to do from the rest because you've already envisioned it. So you can kind of like fill it out from there.
Because at the moment I'm often stuck and I don't have enough time. You know, as you try to wear all the hats and do all the things. But I definitely have to get more streamlined in that I don't actually, that I can be in the more visionary space, right?
Exactly. You know, and I don't know about you. I don't know if you feel this way, but I get, when I'm working in my business, not on my business, I find it really hard to imagine things and see outside. Like you go so micro instead of macro.
Yeah.
And the second that you give yourself more space, you go macro and then you can see the vision again. And I lose the vision all the time.
Yeah, exactly. That's what now when I'm traveling and somewhere else, see different things, I get so creative and have like so many visions. But then when I'm stuck in the work, sometimes I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to do this and that. Mm. And then it's actually good to just step out and, yeah, recalibrate, right?
Yeah, recalibrate. And I even think like personally, like I stopped shooting weddings last year and it was because of this reason. I was like doing all this education stuff. I'm like envisioning big things and the next minute I was at a wedding and then I'm like snowballing with emails and admin and then editing and everything else, traveling around and then doing all this stuff. And I was like, man, this is no longer serving me because it's not actually pushing me. I've already won the awards. I've already shot around the world. I've already hit the bucket list I wanted to hit. I already made the money. I'm like, I need something more.
Yeah. 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 I feel I'm definitely hitting there too a little bit. Just having something new to be super excited about.
Yeah. It's really hard though, because like you're learning to move on with this business, but I moved on without my business and it's really hard to let go of something you built before because you let go of a piece of yourself, it feels like. You know, so like you let go of your own identity. Like my identity was I was a photographer and people still say, Jai, like you're a photographer. And I'm like, I'm not actually. Like I was in a past life. You know, so when I was when I was an electrician, like I gave that up and people would still be like, Jai's an electrician, when they're, you know, my brother would introduce me into something. I'm like, I'm not actually, I'm a photographer, right? And so now people do that and I'm like, I'm not actually, I'm a business coach. You know, so it's an interesting thing that you like morph and change your career as you move forward, but then you have to let go of your past self and
yes,
the accolades and everything that came with, right? The name that you built and the work and the portfolio, all the stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny how that changes. Like, I used to work in corporate industry in Germany. I was always like so embarrassed saying, oh yeah, I work in an office because I hated it, you know? And then I was so excited to be like, oh, I'm a photographer. You know, it's just the way you say it to yourself as well is so interesting, right? Like how you say, I'm really proud, you know, I'm a business coach.
Well, you know, it took me a long time to say proudly that I was a photographer. And then it took me a long time to say proudly I was a business coach. Like even like Lulu caught me a few times because people said, what do you do? I'm like, oh, I'm a teacher. And Lulu's like, you're not a teacher. Like, that's weird. And I'm like, oh, I don't really know what I am. And so like you step into a new space, but you don't really have the title yet or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah. Imposter syndrome.
We do not really dare to attach to it.
Yeah.
And so even for that, like that's why I don't want you to change your name for the new business, because what I have learned is instead of letting go of identities like I did for Breathe the Bird, it's like you bring it with you. And so people now know that I am a podcaster. I am a photographer. I have a fashion label. I'm a business coach. I'm a mentor. Like, you know, so I'm a public speaker, you know, I'm so many different things. And so people are not annoyed about that. It's kind of like they've come along on the journey with me. And I think it's in my wise years these days, I think that was the right decision to make.
Yes. Yeah. And it's so interesting how you, yeah, change everything and yeah, I feel like you're on a good path.
Yeah. And like, I think it, like, done are the days where you build a business that's like separate from you in a sense of like just the names and stuff like that. And these days, like stepping into a business that's like actually represents you as like a personal brand, I think it like can take you to a whole nother level. Especially like,
that's powerful.
Elon Musk is a perfect example because he actually has a lot of business. So just look up SpaceX, Twitter, you know, Tesla, like all these different things. He may not be the majority shareholder, like whatever it is, but we still, so he is the brand over the top of those though. And so he's like built that brand, you know? So when he's tweeting, he's not tweeting from Tesla, he's tweeting from Elon Musk. And when he's like on his, whatever he is on, he like writes from himself. And so then we identify him as the entrepreneur that works in those companies. The company is not him. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
So often we build something and then we are the company. And then it's weird because then I'm like, if someone emails me, like, because they got a complaint, I'm like, are they actually emailing Jared?
Yeah.
You know, like if I'm emailing Tesla and I'm emailing Elon Musk, it's not, yeah, it's not it, right?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like, that's the thing, like we want to build ourselves bigger than the companies and businesses that we grow ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Even like having a VA, you know, answering emails and stuff, you know, people don't mind if it's not you because it's your business. That's what I found out now hiring or getting associates just with weddings. People are okay with it. And it blew my mind. From the moment I sent the first email, being okay, I'm not available, but someone from my team, you know, is available. And I was like, oh my God, they booked it. And it's not even me shooting, but they trust me and my brand that it will be the same.
Yeah.
And that was a huge change last year that came in. And yeah, it definitely blew my mind.
Yeah. What did that break some limiting beliefs?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, it always, oh, I have to shoot it. People only come to me because it needs to be me and my work. But at the same time, it doesn't.
Was it hard for me to sort of go through that journey?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but I felt like, oh my God, I could have done that so much earlier. Just always being like, oh no, you can't.
And you got to the cliff and you jumped and then it worked out. You're like, I could have done that.
Yes, I was so mind blown. I was like, oh my God, this is so easy. It just took me like two sentences in my email that I had to swap out. And that's it. Yeah. And now I'm getting more bookings for associate work and stuff. And I'm like, this is actually way more easy than I thought.
It's amazing, hey, because we have these massive roadblocks in front of us all the time. And then once we overcome this roadblock, we're like, oh my God, that was so easy. Why didn't I do that a long time ago?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And I'm also quite bad for like putting myself out there sometimes. I don't know, on a six-figure business map, oh, I can't post this. I'm like, you know, sometimes I get into those mindsets, even though I know it's not true, right? But yeah, it's like you don't really want to be in the center of attention. But at the same time, having your own business, you have to, because it's you presenting your business. Yeah. So I'm kind of like often back and forth. Have sometimes I don't post much on socials, but then I'm back and post everything. And yeah, it's really funny how it goes.
It is funny. And I guess like it's really cool when you start breaking some limiting beliefs for yourself. You can start seeing where other people are stuck in a limiting belief. Like someone might come to you and they're like, no one's ever going to hire a photographer if it's not actually you shooting it. But you've gone through it. So you're like, well, actually, I've done that before. And so I know I wish someone told me to do it sooner and they did it. And so it took me a long time to work it out on my own. So I love that because like even this kind of stuff that you're doing now, it's like I remember that moment where I'm exactly where you were. And so it feels really cool to sort of just see it from that point and then get excited about the transformation that you'll go through. It's like, yes, you're about to, like, there's some cool shit coming for you. Yeah. So that's what it feels like.
Yeah, I feel it in the air. So there's some good stuff coming. And also opportunities happening, right? You just have to be open for it and see them as well and then take them and not just be like, oh, no, I'm stuck in doing this.
Yeah.
So, and there's so much out there, you know? And yeah, so I'm definitely really excited about traveling Europe, meeting new people, connecting and all about collaborating.
Into a book that I'm reading right now that's called Driven. It got recommended to me actually from someone from the Business Map. And I have people with it. But
oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's real interesting because they talk about like how evolved people are and like entrepreneurs are like less evolved. So it's by Douglas Brackman.
Mm-hmm.
So they talk about like how entrepreneurs are like less evolved than everybody else. And so if you're going into that realm, they talk about like the chromosomes and all this kind of stuff. But essentially, entrepreneurs haven't evolved to the 9-to-5 and to a safe world where the world's completely safe. And so it's an interesting concept, but where we sort of sit is a little bit down and we are still hunting and we're still looking out for danger. So those two things. And so because of that reason, we still use our intuition all the time where we're assessing if this is a good idea or not a good idea. So we do a lot of like multi-thinking as well. So you can easily assess the situation because you're conditioned and that's the way that your mind works, right? And then hunting for opportunities. The reason why some people get opportunities and others don't, everyone gets the same opportunities. They come everywhere, right? But one is actually hunting for them and they identify it and then they think quick and then they reassess, is this scary? Is this not scary? Is this a good idea? It is. And then they can make a decision really fast. Where the other one, like the 9-to-5, it's like you don't even know there's an opportunity coming for you. You don't even know if it's there. If it's there, you don't know if it's a good idea or if it's dangerous or what. But, you know, so you've lost the intuition when it comes to that stuff. So I think that's a really good book for you to even just read, like where you are right now, because I feel like it will open up your mind to a lot of different.
Yeah, thank you. I definitely put it in my list. That sounds awesome. Yeah, I feel like I'm definitely a super intuitive person. It's like, I don't have a good feeling about this. Oh, I'm just going for it. Like back in the day when I started with photography or something, that just doing it, right? Yeah. It's a big step where lots of people are like, no, I can't, I'm not good enough or whatever. Just starting it up. And yeah, it's now good.
It's like one of the most important things, I think. And it's funny because whenever I ask someone like, why'd you do that? You know, and it's like a big project. I don't know. I just felt like it was a good idea.
Yeah, it's just an
intuitive good feeling. Yeah. Like I knew it was going to work out. I'm like, amazing.
Yeah.
Like keeping that slipstream.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I know lots of photographers in my area, they're like, oh, wanting to start out, want to book a wedding. And, you know, just seeing them. And I've been exactly there, you know. And yeah, I feel like I could, you know, give them so many good tips at the same time. It's like you said, people that are just a few steps, maybe 2 years behind you.
Yeah.
That's like really exciting seeing that change and then, giving some tips and helping out. So, yeah.
Cool.
Lots of goodness out there.
It's interesting because sometimes like it's like, do you want to know the how, which is the how to, which is like a tutorial of exactly what to do, or sometimes you just need to know, you just need permission. So it's like permission of going like, yes, I'm going to go to the next step, or sometimes you need motivation, or sometimes you need inspiration, and we're all at different levels. And so, you know, when you first start, funny enough, the main thing that you actually need is how-tos. You need tutorials because there's a whole world out there, we just have no idea of anything. And then the learning curve is like we're at the very start of it, so everything blows our minds. But when you start getting more established in your business and you get to a point where like maybe it feels a little bit boring because you're already killing it in your business and things like that, it's actually funny because you actually need more motivation and inspiration. And I hear this a lot, like I'll read a book and I love this book and my friend will be like, yeah, but there's not enough how-tos. It's too fluffy. But I listen to it and I'm like, man, that's the exact motivation that I need right now. Like I am so ready, you know?
Yes.
And I feel like right now it's sort of like what you need. It's like you just need, like you need the permission to go out there and make this happen. But you do need that inspiration of like, man, I need to see some big people doing some big things. And I'm keen to get into that strip late. And also you don't need the how-tos because you already can trust yourself that you're resourceful enough that you can work out the thing, the problem that comes and that arises for you.
Yes. Question about, I would love to have a bit more of a community of like entrepreneurs that are like maybe, you know, a year ahead of me or having hired those people. I find it quite tricky where I'm based to connect with those people, or I'm not sure if they're around, or maybe I'm just, you know, like in friendships and stuff, most of them are employed. So I can't really, you know, bounce ideas and stuff. So do you have any idea? Would you?
Yeah, of course.
Like online community, of course. But
yeah, so I mean, there is lots out there. But as you start getting more success and having more life experiences, like there's less and less communities. But a lot of the times, like so many entrepreneurs feel like this and make them feel like stuck, or, you know, they just don't have the bright group of people that are like in front of them. And that's why a lot of people pay. And that's why there's like masterminds and stuff. Like, so a lot of like people that I know that are like hit big things, they pay like $20,000 to fly to New Mexico to go to this mastermind that's gone for a week, and there's a whole bunch of people doing ice baths and hanging out and we're talking strategy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because you get to a point where it's like to be stimulated in the same way, to talk to those people that are doing big things, it's pretty hard to just come by and find those people. You know, so they're out there doing stuff, they're busy.
They're busy people.
Yeah, and so that's why, like, even when I first started, I was like, who the hell would ever pay for, like, a massive mastermind like this? Or, like, I remember looking at one, it was, like, $70,000. I was like, wow. Who the fuck would pay for this? But now, where I am now, I'm literally like, I wouldn't. You know, like, it's because those people are making 100-plus million per year, and they're doing this and that, and they're best-selling authors and everything.
Yeah, someone,
I want to be in that room.
Yeah.
I want to go make some money right now. So I can be in those rooms, because otherwise, how else will I ever get into those rooms?
Yeah, exactly. Just meeting those people, right? Yes. Those kind of events.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, meeting those people. And just being surrounded by the energy. Mm. So you never know. Like, one thing that I've learned is, like, people are always willing to help. And so you just got to get into the right rooms. And when you get into the right rooms, it's like you have the right conversations. Like, it doesn't matter what you're talking about.
Yes.
Because it's like it all builds the relationship. It builds friendship and connection, all that kind of stuff. And it's with people that are just like you, that are also like, hey, it gets pretty lonely out here. That's why I came to this thing. And I'm doing all these big things, but sometimes I need it.
Exactly. That's the power of meeting people in person too, right? Like all those retreats, like you actually connect and on a deeper level.
Yeah. That's why I'm like, you know, so many times, like even like the business maps, like changed a lot of people's lives, because it's like, you know, someone was in Chicago and they feel disconnected and lonely, and they're on this journey where they're trying to build a business and, you know, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden they can join a community where it's just like tons of people, because that's the way that you do it, you know? And so, and as you move your way up through your success levels and throughout life, like you need to find new groups, new people, new masterminds. And a lot of the times it's get more expensive, of course.
Yeah.
And that's the cool thing too. So when it is expensive, so for instance, like that one that was $70,000, like, I am like, I want to go to that because I would pay $70,000 for it, which means if that guy could demand 70 grand from me, then I want to learn what he's doing. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
That's the way that my brain works. I'd never think, like, oh, it's a ripoff or anything. I'm like, the fact that I'm considering it means I need to be there.
Yeah. You know? True, yeah. Actually, yeah.
So you sold me on that, man. Fucking show me the secret.
Exactly.
I'm so interested. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's been so exciting for you, right? It'll be like, oh my God, you've booked something like that. And you're like, oh my God, I want to go there, you know?
And yeah, I mean, it's really scary.
Yeah.
Super scary. Like, it's scary to spend that much money on something, especially if you don't have that money. You have to go out there and like hustle and make it work. And you know, it's a big goal and dream and whatever. But the thing is, like, and as you grow more and stuff, we always know that we are, the battle is us against us. And so the only thing holding you back from having associate shooters is that you didn't have the courage to change the email, right? So it's like you fought, you finally gave in, and then you won the battle, and it was a fuck yes. Like, I did it.
So easy too.
Amazing. Why was I battling myself for so long?
Yeah.
This is only ourselves. And so it's every stage of business is like that. It's like the first time I hit $1 million in my business in 1 year, I'm just like, fuck, why did it take me so well? Because I was holding myself back, not by my team, not like my enforcer, not my friends, not my family, not my experiences. Like, it's just me.
Yes.
You know, and so sometimes like just getting into that new room and like paying some money and talking to someone, it's like that allows you to be like to break off those shackles because like, well, I paid the money now, so I'm ready to get a return on my investment. And I think just like it's just such a big journey.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Oh, it sounds so exciting. Gives me already so many ideas and...
Well, man.
Yeah, to see what else is out there and just, yeah, connecting with people and all those sort of things and work on my business, of course.
Yeah, like, and like I said, like just circling back to what you're doing, like the cool thing is working on your business instead of in your business with the vision of like you're going to repeat every process to do it all over again, to me gets me excited, like when I think about it, because I'm like, there's like a future again. Because right now you're living in the future that you built. Like 5 years ago, you had a dream. Like I said, I would have died to be in a helicopter.
Yeah.
And now you're in that future. And so which means there is no more future. Like where are you in 5 years' time? So that's why you're sitting here now, because it's like, I'm fucking lost because I've already reached.
Yeah, so, but it doesn't feel fulfilling.
It never feels fulfilling.
Yeah.
You never hit the destination. That's the weird thing.
It's like, weird.
Yeah, so it's like I'm here, but like I'm still itchy. I haven't scratched the itch yet. Like it makes no sense. And so that's why you need to readjust and pivot the map and then go, okay, so I've got a new compelling future. Because the only thing that's going to keep you going is have that new compelling future, and then you can build a new map around that new future.
Yeah, but it keeps changing the whole time, right? Like, every few months, I'm like, new ideas, oh my God, this. That's it's quite stressful because some people, they're just, oh my God, I'm going to be, when I work in office for the next 10 years, exciting. And for me, it's like, not exciting. You know, it's like constant change and challenge, and you're constantly like reinventing yourself at the same time. So yeah, it's definitely exciting where we're heading, but at the same time, a bit scary because I'm not sure what it looks like, right?
I mean, that's the thing, like we always try and keep ourselves scared.
Yeah.
It's the thing that keeps us.
Yeah, that's actually right. So true.
True.
Are you happy?
Yes.
Man, that was awesome.
Hey, Make Your Breakers. Want to streamline your Audible dose of inspiration, motivation, and creative biz insights with a custom playlist made just for you? Was that a yes, please? Kicking our arses into gear, sifting through all of Make Your Breaks episodes to date, yep, we're talking all 200 plus episodes, we've meticulously curated some banging playlists just for you. We want to help you to make that break ASAP. So, whether you're a newbie or have listened to every episode a million times, jump into the show notes and check out the little something something we whipped up to generate your very own custom playlist.